Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are examining the Advent blues. Last week we heard about Jesus as the prophet, showing how through the gospel we no longer need to sing the blues or to be disappointed by blue moods. Today we examine another of his roles, that of priest. These are more than regal titles and legal honors. They are claims scriptures make about Jesus, the coming Messiah, that Jesus himself then fulfills. Today Jesus wins top honors with the blue ribbon. Blue ribbons are commonplace for some people. You probably know of a family or two that their kids have one, if not several, blue ribbons. They're given for music, academics, sporting events, those kind of things. And some people have several, and some people would just be happy to have one blue ribbon. It's impossible to list all of the blue ribbons that Jesus achieved through all of the Old Testament prophecies that he fulfilled, but Scripture boasts of at least one. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There could be no loftier award. Melchizedek was a great priest of the Old Testament, and he came long before Aaron. And Aaron was the one then that would later have all the Levitical priests of the Old Testament. He was considered the ideal ruler of Israel and later Jewish thought. When Abraham rescued his nephew Lot from the four kings, Melchizedek came bringing bread and wine. Psalm 110, which is messianic, affirms that Melchizedek was the most honorable priest known and that David's heir would be ordained by God to an eternal priesthood according to Melchizedek. The writer of Hebrews, then, idealizes Melchizedek as the individual who joined the offices of king and priest together. The blue ribbon of priesthood is the most distinctive kind. It is both ancient and honorable, like the formal blue sashes that nobles sometime wear. Yet for us today, this distinctiveness may be lost. Some of us may not even have known there was a person in the scriptures titled Melchizedek, let alone that he was a priest of God. And so it's important for us then to not only know the words, but the reasoning behind the words, the origin. These words are critical, their imagery unparalleled, and their truth unexcelled. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that Jesus is not to be just ignored as just another prophet. He was the prophet, and he was the priest. He notes Melchizedek was a king of peace, without fear or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. In short, Melchizedek is before the Aaronic priesthood was established in the days of Moses. He was before the priesthood, and his priesthood had no end. Melchizedek had a priesthood that was timeless. And so too was his successor, Jesus. Jesus' priesthood is timeless. Not only recognized by Abraham and others, but Abraham also brought Melchizedek as priest and king a tithe, showing Melchizedek's superiority even to Abraham, to whom the covenant was given. The Aaronic priesthood was ultimately set aside, but the priesthood of Melchizedek was established forever, the heir for that priesthood being Jesus. Jesus' priesthood, though, is more than a blue ribbon. Although, granted, if one were to give a ribbon, it would have to be the blue ribbon, because Jesus is second to none. Many of you may wonder, though, why is this important? But in the earliest years of the church, the Jewish Christians were maligned for turning their backs on the Old Testament priesthood and the sacrificial system. Evidence of Jesus' priesthood was an important defense. The epistle's author sees Jesus as both priest and sacrifice. According to Marcus Borg, the functions of the priesthood related to sin, sacrifice, and forgiveness. And that provides for us the defining image of Jesus, not only praying to God on behalf of us, his congregation, but even giving himself as our sacrifice. But as Borg emphasizes, Jesus is not exclusively a priest, even a blue ribbon one at that, but he is also prophet, king, and Messiah. These roles enable us to see Jesus in different ways, and yet they are not all-encompassing. Jesus was much more than that. And yet it's important to have these roles so that we can understand how Jesus fulfilled those Old Testament prophecies regarding him. That understanding, however, must be stretched beyond simple academics. You know, a sermon is not worthwhile if it's only big words and doesn't accomplish anything. It must be personal. While knowing that Jesus is a blue ribbon priest like Melchizedek is important knowledge, it is having a trust in him as your Savior that is vital. Jesus is our priest who ministers to us with his sacrifice as well as his sacraments. He ministers as a priest to heal the body as well as the soul. According to one Bible dictionary, in addition to teaching and offering sacrifices, priests diagnosed diseases that made worshipers ceremonially unclean and performed ritual purifications of those diseases. These were their primary roles, and they are still the roles of Jesus as well. So how often do we hear Jesus referred to as our great physician? He is our great physician who heals us as did the priests of old. Repeatedly, the evangelists tell us of account after account of how Jesus did this. People were brought to him and came to him that had horrid and terrifying diseases. Not only the sick were brought to him, but also the dead. The blind saw. The dumb were made to speak. Lepers were cleansed. The bedridden walked. Hemorrhaging women were cured, and the mentally deranged were made sane. But Jesus did not come to earth only to heal the sick in body. He came to heal the sick in soul. As a priest of the order of Melchizedek, Jesus could not ignore the root of all disease, sin. You see, sickness comes about as a result of sin. And granted, it may not be a personal cause. A person may not have done any sin to deserve any kind of physical disease. And yet, sickness and disease come because of sin, because of the fall into sin. And so Jesus, as great priest, came not only to heal bodies, but also souls. Jesus came for our wholeness. You see, the devil wants to use sickness and diseases to separate us from God, to make us dislike God, to make us go against God. But Jesus came to make us whole. He reached not only to minds and hearts, but to the whole person, to ulcerated bodies, withered limbs, sickened organs, tainted minds, and sickly souls. His touch healed. His word cured. His ointments of saliva and dust were a prescription for wholeness. In this age, we think of Jesus as Savior, but we forget that role is intended to save us from sickness, which is the result of sin, as well as from sin and evil. Thus, let Jesus be your Melchizedek to bring you bread and wine. Jesus does indeed bring you his bread and his wine, his body and his blood at the sacrament of the holy altar, of the sacrament of Holy Communion every Sunday here at Augsburg. Do not fail to celebrate it, for this is not just bread and wine, but it is his body and blood in with and under that bread and wine, given for your good. It is his way of making us whole with him. It is said that the British royal family was out on their yacht, the Britannia, one night. And as they were on their way, the captain noticed a bluish light out in the distance. And so he picks up the radio and makes a call, alter course. Not too long after that, he receives a transmission back. You alter course. A little upset, he says, "This is John Jones, captain of the royal yacht. The prince and princess are on board. By the authority of the Queen, you change course." And immediately he gets the reply, "This is Fred Smith, keeper of the lighthouse for 22 years. You change course." Many of us want Jesus to sail different waters or to take another route to get rid of our way. Then we discover that he is the lighthouse. He is the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. by whose light we must be sailing to be well forever. We must change course and let him guide us to safe harbor. In Jesus' name, amen.